Well, good morning, Red Village Church. It is a joy to be here with you, to see many familiar faces and to meet new people who are my brothers and sisters in Christ and who share the same heart to magnify Christ and to proclaim the wooden cross and the empty tomb to all nations. So though we don't know each other, we do. We know each other because we know the same Lord. And I am so thankful to be here. My wife, Lindsay, and my children, Joshua, Lucy, and Thomas, they wish with all their hearts they could be here, but they send you their love. So thank you for having me. Thank you to Aaron for having me, for Trevor and Ben for having me. And we greet everyone watching at home. We love you guys. We're so thankful to be here. I'm excited to open God's Word with you today. Just to, for those who don't know me, and for those who maybe don't know what's going on in our lives, just to give you a quick update before I pray and we get into the Word. So I met Aaron and Tia in 2008. Tia, you won't believe what she did. She actually called me before I ever met them on my wedding day. I was getting married, and I get this phone call from some Wisconsin number or something. I'm like, it must be important. And she was wanting, like, a deposit for my apartment in Louisville, Kentucky. So I always give Tia a hard time for that. She did call. She was surprised I answered the phone. But so we met in Louisville, Kentucky. Aaron and Tia were, Aaron was in seminary. My wife and I were newlyweds, and we were in Louisville in seminary. And so we became friends then. We were praying for Red Village before, you know, anyone was here. When they moved up here, and by God's grace, they invited us to come up here, and we were here for 4 years, from 2012 to 2016, and I praise God for those years. We're very thankful for our time here. And now, God, after being in Alabama, we've been in Alabama, where I'm from, for the last 5 years, and God has been gracious and faithful to us, and we are about to be sent out by, from our church, where I'm on staff, to plant a church at our college town in Tennessee, and near Suwannee in Tennessee. So we appreciate your prayers for that endeavor. So before we get into God's Word, we're going to look at the book of Philemon. Would you please pray with me? Father God, you are so good. You are faithful, God. Lord, thank you that I could be here with my brothers and sisters, and Father, I pray that you would be glorified, that Christ would be magnified, and that your church would be encouraged. So fill me with your Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, my wife says she's never seen me cry, which is true. I don't usually. We've missed you guys. We've missed RBC. So Proverbs 15:23 says, "To make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is." Do you guys remember a time where you received a word in season that refreshed your soul? I remember exactly where I was sitting on January 1st, 2004. God was doing something in my life. I was coming to faith in Christ. It was my senior year of high school. I was right in the turmoil of my own sinful life, and I saw, was beginning to see Christ, and I wanted to follow him. I believe God had already saved me, but I was wrestling through, I guess, a legalistic mindset of thinking I had to clean myself up to be accepted by God. And I remember speaking on the phone to a friend. And I just kept saying, I want to change, I want to change, I want to change. And she said four words that changed me. She said, Robert, you have changed. Christ has changed you. That was a turning point in my life. That was a word in season where I was refreshed and encouraged and I rested in Christ. In the book of Philemon, amazing, beautiful little book. It's written by the Apostle Paul. From prison, Paul had had a ministry through his missionary journeys. The church in Colossae was planted by extension from his missionary journeys. Philemon was a leader in the church, a host of the house church in Colossae. So these books go together, Colossians and Philemon. And he's writing this book to Philemon. This is a personal letter. It's really an incredible story. It would make a great movie. I don't know if anyone here wants to make this movie. So Philemon had a bondservant who ran away all the way from Colossae, probably to Rome. He's getting as far away from Philemon as he could. This man's name is Onesimus. So he runs away, probably to Rome. And who does he meet in the grace of God, in the providence of God, but the Apostle Paul? So Onesimus comes to faith in Christ. He begins to serve in ministry with Paul. And Paul says, Onesimus, you got to go back. You got to make things right. You got to go back to Philemon. So the question behind this letter that we don't actually get an answer to, how is Philemon going to treat him? How is the church in Colossae going to welcome him? In this book, you will see beautiful gospel reconciliation portrayed. And today, we're going to zero in on verses 4 through 7. I'm about to read the whole book, 25 verses, but we're going to zero in on verses 4 through 7. And in this context, Paul is encouraging Philemon. He's saying, Philemon, you have done well. You've been a refresher of the saints. Keep doing it. And so my message to you today, RVC, you've done well. By God's grace, look what God has done. From Aaron and Tia to this today, to all these people around the world, praise the Lord. But keep doing it. It's not time to rest on what you've done. You've done well. Keep doing it. So the exhortation today, here's the main point. It's an exhortation for you guys. Be encouraged and be encouraging. So be encouraged yourself in Christ and in the gospel. Be encouraging to each other. For kids out there, are there any kids here in the service today? See any kids? Hey, guys. Yeah, I see. Yeah, I see you. Okay. See some. Where are my friends? I was hanging out with. Okay, I see some friends over there. Okay. So kids, I want you to see, if you want to listen to the sermon, you can count how many times I'm going to say the word encourage or encouragement. It's a lot. I don't know how many. It's, I think, over 80. So get ready. So you can write those down, make little marks. But let's read the letter of Paul to Philemon. This is God's gracious word. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for the sake of my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me, in order that he may serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this is perhaps why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I'm hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Okay, so The gospel encouragement focuses on the spiritual. That's what we're going to see first in verses 4 through 7. Gospel encouragement, the encouragement that I'm going to ask you to give each other, focuses on the spiritual. Okay? So in the context, let's consider the context. It is an uncomfortable situation. It's uncomfortable for everyone, for Paul, for Philemon, for Onesimus. There could have been grave consequences for a runaway bondservant to go back to his master. Things are going well in the church of Colossae. If you read the letter to the Colossians, things are going pretty well. Why would Paul do this? Why would he send this ticking time bomb back there? Paul desires the gospel to be displayed, the gospel of reconciliation to be displayed. So, it's an uncomfortable situation. It's a critical moment, and Paul, in verses 4 through 7, is beginning with prayer and with encouragement. From his heart, he is genuinely encouraging Philemon. He knows that Philemon has been a refresher of the saints. There's some of you here today who the same could be said. And all of this encouragement, we see, is rooted in the gospel. It's rooted in their faith in the Lord Jesus and their love toward all the saints. Verse 5, I hear of your love and of the faith you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. So it's what God has done in them through the gospel. He's encouraging them. He's saying, I see God at work in you. Be encouraged. So gospel encouragement focuses on the spiritual, what God is doing in someone. So this phrase, faith and love for the Lord Jesus and the saints, is a very common phrase that Paul uses. Ephesians 1, Colossians 1, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. It counteracts worldly encouragement. This is the kind of encouragement we are naturally giving to each other, even in the church, and what we try to live by in our own lives. Circumstances, right? We all want to be encouraged because we think things are going well. We see our plan and our path, and if we're on it, great. And if we're not, man, I'm discouraged. I'm the same way. This is worldly encouragement. It focuses on self. It focuses on circumstances. Or it just gives no encouragement at all. But spiritual encouragement is what we're called to. And spiritual encouragement is God in us, what God is doing in us, to will and to work for His good pleasure. So I have a definition of encouragement. It's from Pastor Scotty Smith. I really like this definition. I'll read it twice. Encouragement is the heart art of coming alongside someone to offer the comfort, the counsel, and the consolation of the gospel. I'll read it again in a second, but it's basically just coming along a brother or sister in Christ and reminding them the gospel, what God is doing in their lives. So the encouragement is the heart art of coming alongside someone to offer the comfort, the counsel, and the consolation of the gospel. So the word encouragement in Greek, parakaleo, means to call alongside. It is all about fixing our eyes on Jesus. He is the source of our encouragement. There's a great quote by Pastor Robert Murray McShane. It says this. He first quotes Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Then he says, learn much of the Lord Jesus. For every look at yourself, take 10 looks at Christ. He is altogether lovely. Such infinite majesty, and yet such meekness and grace, and all for sinners. Even the chief. Live much in the smiles of God. Bask in His beams. Feel His all-seeing eye settled on you in love, and repose in His mighty arms. Wow, we have a gracious Savior. In the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. So focus on faith and love as you encourage one another, as you think about your own life and your own circumstances. We all have them, right? Each one of us have that thing that maybe is coming to mind right now that is challenging, that is difficult. Focus on your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love for all the saints, what God is doing in you, what God is doing in others. A great way to do that is to remember where we are in God's big story, biblical theology. Remember the story, brothers and sisters. This world began, and it was a very encouraging beginning. God created this world out of nothing by speaking. He said, it is good. It is very good. He created us in his image to share in his love and his joy in a relationship with him. But our first parents, Adam and Eve, we know the story, rebelled against God. They disobeyed God. They were banished from the garden. And this world now, brothers and sisters, your lives, my life, we're in a land of sighing and sorrows. This is a young church. I'm relatively young. We haven't been through as much as some of our more seasoned brothers and sisters. This is a land. If it hasn't hit you yet, it will. This world, this time we're in, is a land of sighing and sorrows. But God made a promise. He promised, I will send someone who will crush the head of the serpent. He promised, I will send someone who will be the seed of Abraham, who will bless all nations. He promised, I will send someone who will be a king in David's line, who will reign over this world forever and ever. That promise has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Jesus, our Lord, came down fully God, fully man. He lived a perfectly righteous life. He died a substitute's death, absorbing the wrath of God that we deserved, and he rose again, glorious forever, reigning forever, alive forever, saving all who will come to him by faith. So this is where we are now. We're in this land of the already and not yet. But this is like the title page. This is just the cover of the book. Our story goes on forever, brothers and sisters. No matter what is happening here, whatever discouragement you have, we have forever and ever and ever to be with our Lord Christ. Amen. Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5, the last chapter in the Bible, says this. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, praise God, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants shall worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. Night will be no more. There will be no need of light, of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. So, brothers and sisters, have you been lonely this year? You will have perfect fellowship with God and with each other forever. Amen. Forever. This pandemic, this division, this disunity, maybe you have experienced, as we have, this death, we're going to have new bodies that will never die, that will never grow old. Our sin that we wrestle with, don't you hate your sin? Don't you long to walk more closely with your Savior? And one day we will be unable to sin. It will not even enter our minds of sinning. Praise God for that. I look forward to that day. So, brothers and sisters, we are almost there. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. We are close. We are on the precipice of the Grand Canyon. Our toes are leaning over, about to head into eternity, the eternal day. So we should encourage one another all the more as we see the day drawing near. So there's a place I love to visit. You may have heard of it. You may have been there. It's called Narnia. I go there often with my children and by myself. And C.S. Lewis says in The Last Battle, as the children who have gone to this land have had many adventures, they've been with the Savior, Aslan, and now the old earth, the old Narnia has passed away. He's created this brand new Narnia. It resembles the old, but so much better. And C.S. Lewis closes the series by saying this: all their life in this world and all their adventures had only been the cover and the title page. Now at last they were beginning chapter one of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. So we will get there, brothers and sisters. If you're discouraged, if you have hardships, you do, just look to where we're going. Remember where we are in the story. It will end. It won't last forever. Be encouraged, brothers and sisters, for what our Savior has done for us. Remember, gospel encouragement is spiritual. Be encouraged. We'll reign with Christ forever. So that's the first exhortation, that the gospel encouragement is spiritual. We need to remember that. We need to remind each other of that. The second one here delves into, in these verses, the motivation behind gospel encouragement. Okay? Paul, we're going to be able to peel back the onion a little bit, and we're going to see what was motivating Paul to give this gospel encouragement. And it's two words, glory and joy. Glory and joy. We're going to see that. So let's look at verse 5. So he's encouraging them, he's praying for them, he's thankful for them. He says, because I've heard of your love, of the faith you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And then he's about to pray. What is he praying? I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. So let's pause there first before we get to the motivation. So he's talking about the sharing of his faith. I believe this is everything that we do together as brothers and sisters in Christ. We are sharing our faith as we sing songs together, as we hear God's word together, as we encourage one another. We're sharing our faith. There's generosity involved. There's partnership. There's fellowship in the gospel. So he's praying that the sharing of their faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ, an awareness of our blessings that we have in Christ. He's praying that we would that the believers there at Colossae would continue sharing their faith. They would all be built up into the full knowledge of every good thing that God has for us. Reminds us of Ephesians 1, that we have every spiritual blessing in Christ. And also reminds us of Ephesians 4, where it talks about the purpose of the church is to build itself up in love. So we see that. That's what Paul is praying. We'll get to his motivation in just a moment. The word refreshed says in verse 7, for I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brothers, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. So the word there is anapao in Greek. It means to permit one to cease from labor in order to recover and to collect his strength, to give rest. This is spiritual rest that only comes through Christ. So now we're going to see the motivation. Two motivations, glory and joy. First, he says, he's praying for the effective sharing of the faith, full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. It's all for the sake of Christ. It's all for Christ's glory. He's praying this, not just for their sake, but for Christ's glory. Christ, we were made to live for someone else. That's why you have joy in your marriage as you love each other. That's why you have joy as you serve your children when they're young and they cannot do anything for themselves. We were made to live for others. And ultimately, we were made to live for Christ. We are made to live for Christ. We are to do all for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So first, his motivation is glory, the glory of Christ. It's all for the sake of Christ. Why he prays, why he is encouraging. So let that be your motivation, brothers and sisters. Be motivated for God's glory to encourage one another. Second motivation, we'll spend a little more time on this one, joy. Paul receives all of his joy ultimately from Christ. He is the fountain of all joy. But Christ uses means to give us joy. And one of those great means we see in Scripture is the joy of others as they are taking pleasure in God. So we're going to see that here. We're going to see that several places. First, look here, verse 7. So he has that word for. So he's saying, I'm praying this for you for the sake of Christ. And then he's saying why he's doing that. Why is he praying that? Why is that the reality? What's behind all of this? Verse 7, I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. So Paul sees the saints in Colossae refreshed, encouraged in their walk with Christ. And that gives Paul joy to see his children walking in the truth, right? So there are many other places. I'm going to reference several of them. I would encourage you to look at this, to study this more. 2 Corinthians 7, verses 2 through 16. Paul talks about Titus as he has come back from the believers in Corinth and the joy that it gives him that they are doing well, that they had repented and they are doing well. And Romans 15:32, Paul has a desire to be refreshed by the Roman believers. In 1 Corinthians 16:17 through 18, we see these things tied together again. His rejoicing in the saints being refreshed. There's one more place, and I'm sorry, two more places I'm going to show you. The book of Philippians. There's a well-known word that might come to your mind when you think of the book of Philippians. What is it? Anybody? Joy? Did someone say joy? I think I heard it. Yep. Hans, good job. I knew I could count on you, Hans. So joy, yeah, perhaps that's what you think about. The word joy and rejoice is all over Philippians, and he's in prison, and he has all this joy. Where does all this joy come from for Paul? It's certainly from Christ. Ultimately, it's from God. But there's something else he says here. In Philippians 1:25, he says, he's debating, do you remember to live as Christ and to die as gain? Should I go home to be with the Lord? That would be far better. Should I stay here with you? And he says, I will remain with you all. And he gives a reason for your progress and joy in the faith. The reason he is staying, Paul wants to stay, is for their progress in the faith and for their joy in the faith. That's his motivation, to remain on this earth for their progress and joy in the faith. 1 John 1:4 says, we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Joy is a proper biblical motivation. Joy in Christ. Joy in your brothers and sisters enjoying Christ. This is the motivation for gospel encouragement. So, perhaps your life's mission is to glorify God by enjoying Him. This is why we sing, joyful, joyful, we adore Thee. So, brothers and sisters, share the joy of Jesus. He is the treasure hidden in the field. The conversion of an unbeliever to a believer is the creation of a new appetite for God's glory, for the joy of Christ, and for the joy of Christ in others who do not yet know Him, and for our brothers and sisters who know Him. So we know about this joy in our lives, about taking joy in others. We know about it. So as I said, I have three wonderful children, Joshua, who's 10, Lucy, who's 7, and Thomas, who's 5. Thomas and Lucy were born here. In Madison. So with my children, so with Thomas, this boy loves to wrestle, and I love that. So we wrestle all the time, and he does not hold back. I mean, I will be coming at him to tackle him, and he's 5, and he'll just rear back and punch me right in the face, and it hurts, But the joy on his face as we wrestle, as we're rolling around and tickling and laughing, you parents know this. There's joy that you have as you see your children's joy. Lucy, my princess Lucy, she is a great artist. She did not get it from me. I draw like stick figures. So what we do is sometimes we'll sit down by each other. She's 7. And she'll draw her picture here, and I'll draw my picture here. And we won't look at each other's, then we'll switch, and we'll close our eyes, and we'll say, 1, 2, 3, open your eyes. And she's looking at her picture, and before I even look at my picture, I look over at her because her face lights up when she sees my little stick figures. And her joy gives me joy. You guys know this in your life. One more example. Joshua, he loves soccer. And since I've left, I've become a pretty good soccer coach. So I coach all of his soccer teams. And this one time, I like to say I am a fair coach. I let all the kids play. If one kid is scoring a bunch, I put other kids up. I rotate them around. But there was this one game. Joshua was on fire. He scored 4 goals in the game. And after he scored that 4th goal, I was so excited. We're running up, jumping together, laughing. And I just grabbed him. I said, Joshua, I want you to go steal that ball from that kid and score it again. He's like, yeah, Dad. And he did it again, so he scored 5 goals in that game. But it was so much fun to see him enjoying it, and we enjoyed that together. So we see that in the world that we have joy in other people's joy. How much more in the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord? So brothers and sisters, encourage each other to share in the joy of knowing Christ. Share in evangelism the joy of knowing Christ with those who don't yet know Him to the ends of the earth. So give your life for the spiritual joy of others, and it will be for your joy. Go make disciples of all nations. So the gospel transforms our encouragement, the motivation that comes from our encouragement. We have a new appetite, glory and joy. So now I want to spend just a little time to give some ideas for application of these things. So I've already given you the main message. So the message is be encouraged in what Christ has done in you. He has rescued you. He has ransomed you. He's given you forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Be encouraged and then be encouraging. So that's the message. So some ideas for you, RVC. Some application. Children, you guys still there? Y'all are being really great, by the way. I know you don't have children's church right now. Y'all have been awesome. Does anybody know how many times I said encouragement? Did anybody keep track? Okay, yes, back there. Oh, I'm not doing very well. I thought it was going to be much higher. We'll see. I'll try to speed up. Good job back there. Okay, so application. Children, I'm talking to you, okay? Kids, I want to tell you something today. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves children. I hope you know that. I know you do, being here at RVC. But Jesus loves you. You can know Christ right now. He says, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them. For to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. So children, if you put your faith in Christ, I'm not going to go there. If you put your faith in Christ, if you turn away from your sins and trust in Christ, the kingdom of heaven belongs to you. So be encouraged, children, that God loves you. I want you to know that. You can come to Christ at a young age. You can know God. Second group I want to give application to, fathers. We have any fathers here? Remember, fathers, to encourage your children. Encourage your children. There's a reason the scripture says, do not be harsh with them. That can be our tendency, dads. That can be my tendency, but encourage your children. No matter where your children are spiritually, God is at work in them. That is not a promise of their faith, but that is a reality that God is at work in everyone. We all have common grace. So you, even if you don't know where their faith is, no matter how old your children are, you can encourage them at what God is doing in their lives. All the good gifts that have come from above, you can share with your children. Say, I see God has given you this ability in school or this ability in sports. So I want to encourage you. So certainly we need to discipline our children, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. But don't forget to encourage your children, fathers. God is at work. Now I'm speaking to myself with this last one. And I wonder if anyone else is like me. To the fearful. I want to encourage the fearful or the fretful. Anyone fearful? Anyone struggled with fear this last year? I certainly have. Well, the Lord God says, fear not. We can learn something from our brothers and sisters around the world. So many of you, some of you may have heard of in Sri Lanka 2 years ago at Easter, there was a bombing at a church called Zion Church in Sri Lanka. 31 believers were killed. It was an Islamic extremist. This was on Easter 2 years ago, just had the anniversary. And there was a 7-year-old girl named Debbie. And Debbie lost both of her parents in that bombing. Her mom was a Sunday school teacher, faithful Sunday school teacher in Sri Lanka. She lost both of her parents, and she lost her eyesight in that bombing. But she said to people who came to interview, she said, why should I cry? My parents are with Jesus. Why should I cry? One day I will be with them. She even has said, one day Jesus will give me new eyes, and I will see him. That is the spiritual reality that she is living in. I know, brothers and sisters, there are reasons that we could be afraid. Personal reasons, reasons within our country. But this little girl, Debbie, if she was here today, she would say, fear not, brothers and sisters. No matter what happens to you, when the bombs start coming for us, when the people raid our homes, no matter what happens to you, God is still God. Jesus is still alive. We still have eternal home, and nothing happens apart from his command. Amen. So be encouraged. Be encouraged. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So, brothers and sisters, refresh someone this week. Don't text anybody. Don't think, okay, I'm going to do the application of the sermon. Let me just send a quick text before it's even over. Done. Don't do that this week. I'm not against texting, but write a letter to somebody. Encourage someone in the church. Write a letter to someone. Maybe go visit with someone. I'm sure there are people here. There are in Alabama at our church people who have not gotten out, who have not been seeing people. They're lonely. Go see your brothers and sisters in Christ. Be respectful. Give them space if they want space. Go see them. Encourage them. Visit with them. Serve with your spiritual gifts. If you're a believer, you have a gift. You have a gift. Share it for the glory of God. And perhaps we all need to get back in the game. And so there are some ways in my life, speaking with Jacob about this, evangelism. I think I've kind of hit pause on evangelism for the past while. We might need to get back in the game. I know I do. So we should always be encouraged. We should always be encouraging. There's one more thing I have to say about this text. I have to say it. So Philemon, this whole book points us to the gospel of reconciliation, to Christ, our reconciler. So in this letter, we see there's a sinner, Onesimus. We see there's a mediator, Paul. We see that there's a potential forgiver, Philemon. We see that there's a debt that is paid by the mediator. He says, if he has wronged you at all, I will repay it. This all points us back to Christ. Jesus is the one who made the appeal of love. Jesus is the one who took matters into his own hands and paid our debt when he was nailed to the cross. Everything that separates us from God, holy God, sinful us, Christ has reconciled us to God. Once your enemy, now seated at your table, praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So all of us, brothers and sisters, for any who don't know Christ, come to Christ. Come to Jesus. Bask in his smile. Bask in his love. Would you believe this? That God actually delights in us? The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him and those who hope in his steadfast love. Psalm 147:11. So Red Village Church, we love you. I'm so thankful that I've been able to be here with you. We are thankful for your faith and your love, Lord Jesus, your love for the saints. Keep looking to Jesus. Keep being encouraged. Keep encouraging others. And continue to proclaim the wooden cross and the empty tomb to all nations. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We give all praise and all glory to you, for you are our reconciler. You have given us every reason to be encouraged, even through the trials and the sorrows and sighs we go through in this life. So, Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here, pray for myself, that you would keep us in your love. You would keep us encouraged, that we would overflow into others. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.